No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Remember, we have a radio audience too, though.
What? Oh, is it post-game show time? Whew, sorry, I fell asleep watching that hockey game.
Wow.
Hang on.
Drew, I think you're going to get a Golden Globe for that performance. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Let me start over. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us this evening via our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Pleased to be with you to discuss what I can easily say is certainly one of the worst hockey games I've ever watched. I don't know if it was officially the worst one. I mean, there's been some bad ones in Jets 2.0 history, but guess that was just atrocious. I can't imagine paying money to have watched that hockey game between the Jets and the Coyotes. The Coyotes winning 1-0. Gentlemen, it was awful. I mean, there's just no sugarcoating what that was tonight.
It's like what Richie Pollock used to say in the early years of Jets 2.0 back in, 2011, 2012. The Jets should give all the fans their money back after that game. It was so boring and just really hard to watch, right, guys? Because you got the feeling, especially, when the Jets couldn't even muster up a shot on that first power play in the third period, right? Like well before they got the double minor. The Coyotes got the double minor. The Jets had the four-minute power play. I mean, you just kind of got the feeling that they weren't going to beat Vermelka, right? Like, this is a guy, a goalie, who I don't think a lot of people have ever heard of. Like, he's played, I believe he's started 11 games this year. I tweeted this out. He's only won 9-0.
He's got two now.
Yeah, there you go. Entering the game. You're right, Drew. I'm wrong. I was mistaken. So he's only got two wins on the season, right? This Coyotes team only has five wins on the season. But yeah, Ryan is right. Like, I will eat this one, boys. I mean, I picked the Islanders to win the cup. They're last in the Metro Division, and I Ginsberg guaranteed that the Jets would win tonight. Look at, I mean, let's put all the jokes aside for a second. I mean, just take a like. First off, is Andrew Ladd still in the NHL? Because tonight's game was the only reason that I can confirm that he is still in the NHL.
Arizona Coyotes team is a who's who of guys you thought retired 5 years ago. No, it's a who's who of guys you thought retired 5 years ago. Andrew Ladd, Louis Erickson, Antoine Roussel, Phil Kessel. I mean, it's a who's who of a mid-aughts hockey team.
Well, Phil Kessel could still pop them in. I mean, he's not the same scorer he was, maybe half a decade ago. But yeah, you're right, Drew. I mean, these guys are. They're just not the same player. They're shades of their former self, right? Like Louis Erickson was regularly a healthy scratch in Vancouver, but look at, I mean, the Jets obviously put up a lot of shots here, guys, and controlled a lot of the play, but like the power play again, like you're thinking to yourself, you get three power plays and including one double minor. So it's essentially four power plays, right?
The Jets had five power plays in the third period, including the one with 7 seconds to go.
I mean, I thought the first power play was earlier in the game, but I guess I'm mistaken. Still, I mean, it's just not acceptable. Like you have to convert on one of those power plays, simply put. And, I thought, kind of what summed up this game is, Andrew Kopp at the side of the net has a perfect, just a wide open net and he just can't even muster up a shot, right? I'm talking about the second last power play. Like, it's just unbelievable. This Jets team right now, they're just completely snake bitten. And you thought, guys, I think, let Dave get in here because I'm talking too much. I think we'll probably hear it in the chat. But yeah, I mean, that's right, Drew. You just get the impression that you got the impression, I should say, Dave, that the Jets were going to carry the momentum from that last game, right? Because obviously, that Flames game was a complete mess to start, but they ended up getting the 2 points, basically thanks to the Connor Scheifele-Wheeler line, but they just weren't able to carry any momentum in from the last game. So it was just surprising that they came out with such a flat effort tonight. Like, put the shots aside. I mean, it wasn't, I think, what you'd expect. Like, where was the speed in tonight's game?
There wasn't any.
When you go in and play the 31st ranked penalty killing unit in the NHL and you make them look like they're the first ranked penalty killing unit in the NHL, I mean, it's opportunities missed. And they didn't look good. And the Coyotes, what did they do? I mean, the craziest part is I think Natural Stat Trick after the first period had them have five high danger chances on like seven shots, whatever they had in the first. And they only had seven shots. The Jets had outshot them, right? So whatever it was. But the point is that like, the Jets were giving up opportunities. Connor Hellebuyck was solid. I mean, the Arizona goal is a result of a turnover in the neutral zone by Nikolaj Ehlers. And then they push in. Mark Scheifele was kind of left in no man's land too. Like he didn't really look like he was aware of what was going on. And the next thing you know, Roussel is pushing at the net and he redirects that puck past Hellebuyck and it's in the back of the net. And you know what? It's oftentimes you watch this team. And like I said, as you guys know, and as people in the chat know, I was there for the first two periods and it was horrible hockey to watch. It really was. And you know, and people are right. Like who cares if you had 46 shots, if they're all from the perimeter, if they're not all high danger, I mean, not even high danger. If you don't have, if traffic in front and you can't get someone to get a rebound. And that to me was the biggest limiting factor for Winnipeg was, you know, great that you have puck possession, obviously important. Great that you're getting shots, also important. But when you don't have anybody in front, when you're not taking away a 1-9-1 goaltender's eyes from him, well, then you know what? Again, if he's in the NHL, he's probably good enough to make a save from a shot that's, you know, 10 to 50 feet away from him that he's seeing the whole way. So, again, you know, there's no Patrick Laine's on this team with that kind of slap shot and who can beat a goaltender, you know, who does see the shot from far away. Nikolaj Ehlers obviously has a shot, but you know, not Kyle Connor too, but for the most part, these guys just weren't doing what they needed to do. So it was a lot of perimeter play. It wasn't a win by any stretch of the imagination for the Jets. And obviously literally it wasn't a win, but I mean, a lot of the areas that they could have had some success in, like the power play, I mean, they were just terrible. And you know, they were taking too long too. I mean, it's funny, right? Like the Moose, why they can't follow the same system, even though they in theory do. Like the Moose just don't, like these guys just stay on the ice for way too long, a minute and a half. Like you're not fresh. So I don't care how good you are, how talented you are. If you stay on for that long, nothing is going to happen. And there was one instance where I think it was like one of the power plays, the first unit, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they both weren't very good, but the first unit stayed on the ice for about a minute and 37. And I thought, well, the second unit can't do anything. I mean, there's almost no time. And they've got to, you know, regroup from the Jet zone because the puck had finally gotten dumped out. But it's just a classic decision. It's selfish. It's just selfish play. It's just you're not playing like a team, playing like individuals who think we'll be able to do this. We ourselves can get this. Our team. That's not a team way of playing, right? The team way of playing is take a minute shift, get off the ice, and let the other unit come on who are fresh and ready to go.
Look, there's no sugarcoating this. You can look at the shots on goal, and if somebody is a glass half full kind of person and wants to look at that as the be all and end all, go right ahead. That's, you know, your prerogative, certainly. The Jets were passive. The Jets did not show the want and the desire necessary to score the tying goal in tonight's game, by which I mean it was all to the perimeter. It was all, you know, bad angle shots. It was all
Nick Ehlers. Hockey. That was another one I wanted to mention. Sorry to cut you off, Drew, on I forget which power play it was. By the way, check, you were wrong. There was Andrew Ladd took a penalty in the second period, Drew.
So I know, and there was five power plays in the third. I wasn't saying that they didn't take one in the second, but there was also five in the third.
Well, I thought you said all five were in the third. But no. Yeah, so look at Nikolaj Ehlers took a bad angle shot. You know, which I think was pretty indicative of a struggling power play. And Dave is right. Yes, the Jets badly outshot the Coyotes here, but the Coyotes are one of the worst teams in the league, and there's just no excuse here to not win this game, right? Like, and we talked about it on the post-game show on Saturday night, right? You couldn't follow up the win against the Flames with a loss. You weren't able to get a point against one of the worst teams in the NHL. And I realize a lot of people are, you know, joking about the Ginsburg guarantee here, guys, but like, this is the type of loss that I think you really have to reflect on. And you have 3 days between games, right? Because you don't have the Devils until Friday. And I like, regardless of how much they practice, I mean, they should probably practice all 3 days. I don't know if they will.
They're off tomorrow.
They're not. They're off tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I assumed they would be off tomorrow, but regardless of how many days they actually practice, which it looks like it's obviously going to be two here, I mean, you have to think, I think, and you have to look at it maybe a little bit more thoroughly, because you know that was obviously a bad road trip. I mean, it was saved by winning that game in Calgary, but I mean, now you've followed up a five-game losing streak with another loss, so you've lost, you know, six of your last seven games. Like, this is this, it's summit time here, right? When Canada lost at the Olympics and there was a summit for Hockey Canada, like, I mean, you got to have a summit and fix this here, because I mean, this is just unacceptable.
Look, they weren't goalied. I see people saying, "Oh, the Jets got goalied again." The Jets got when you're goalied, it's you're having these incredible scoring opportunities, and the goalie is making save after save after save, and is playing unconscious. Look, the Coyotes goalie played well, but the Jets made it easy on him. So I don't care if you're firing 50 shots at him, if they're relatively easy shots, and he can see most of the shots. To your point, Dave. Most NHL goalies are going to make the save. Where was the Jets player who was going to go and just get into the dirty area and not be stopped? And
Pierre-Luc Dubois was the only guy that stands up to me that was doing it, right? Like, how many times did you say Dubois go for like a wraparound, or he was going to the net, yeah, he was trying to create? But that's one player.
Why aren't they all crashing? Why aren't they? I mean, everything was passive. Even the power plays late in the game were passive. It's hard to have a passive power play. The Jets have a passive penalty kill. We know that. We've talked about it. We've lamented it. But the power play was so slow in moving the puck from the sidewall to the point. No wonder you couldn't get any shots through clean. It's because the defender on the Coyotes has enough time to come back and get in the shot lane. It needs to be fast. There's no speed to what they're doing. So no wonder they're not succeeding. It's not rocket science. You never played hockey. Yeah, you're right. I never played junior B hockey, and I can't hang my hat on that for the rest of my life, like so many armchair quarterbacks. But you don't need to play junior B hockey to know that you need some goddamn speed in the game to have success. And I don't care who you're playing. It's so slow. It just do things faster. And where's the urgency? Well, it's the lack of any urgency to the game tonight. You've lost way more than you've won as of late. You played against Calgary on Saturday. You should come out and absolutely want to steamroll the opponent and have it, the game, to be over. You should be up by 3 goals before the game's a period over if you're playing with the speed and the passion that you need to play with. And then to never find that speed and passion in the course of the game is just another shame regarding tonight's contest.
Well, first of all, a couple of things. Number one, I agree with Cody B. Hit the like button. Pretend it's the panic button. If you want to pretend like it's the panic button, we'll take those likes. Helps us with our algorithm. Jeff, I think it was Jeff. Drew, he likes your passion. He likes your fire. He wants you to win some free bagels, but that's not Jeff's decision to make. That would be Ezzy's decision to make. So no decision making there. But you know, I just wanted to make one observation. You know, it was funny watching the game. And again, I was there for the first two periods and then came home for the third. But I have to tell you, like, watching that, you know, some of the passes that the Jets even recovered were honestly mistakes. So there, you know, there was a lack of speed. The crispiness in the passing still isn't there. It really isn't. I mean, there were some instances where it worked, but a lot of times where a guy would, like Wheeler, would try and fire the puck through three guys, it would ricochet off the first, end up on one of the Jets sticks who happened to be high, and they'd keep it in the zone and they'd be able to try and work something. But it really wasn't the play that was designed. It was the result of a broken play. Sure, you could still get credit for that, but there were a lot of instances on that tonight. And I just think this is a team, they need a shakeup. They really do. And whether you want to say it's at the top or throughout the course of this lineup, but right now, I don't care that you had, like I said, great that you had 46 shots. Great that your expected goals was 5 times what the Coyotes was. Great that, you know, that you didn't score. You could, you know, say it's a one-off. But as he said, and he's not wrong, this is a losing streak just with one win in the middle, a win that you weren't really guaranteed until you came back and fought for it, sure. But the reality was, like, you've lost a lot of games in your last little stretch. You had a, obviously you started the season off with that little 0-2-1 stretch. Then you did whatever, I can't remember exactly what they did in the middle when they looked like they had kind of started getting something going. And then they went back, they broke up the Dubois line. And I know a lot of people are focused on that. And it's funny because the numbers haven't, you know, deteriorated for the chances when Dubois still was with Connor. And then they had Wheeler instead of Svechnikov. But since that time, since they kind of broke that off. And one of the, it was an interesting, line of questioning. Scott Billick today of the Winnipeg Sun was asking Paul Maurice today in the media availability in the pregame, or the, sorry, the morning availability, was that idea of why did you break up the Shifley, Lowry, Wheeler line? Because you really had only given it a couple of games and the other lines were going. Mm-hmm. And Paul Maurice's excuse or justification, I should say, was that, well, the other lines were going, but they weren't producing a ton. Well, you were winning hockey games though, right? So he's trying to get it away from the idea that he's trying to get his captain going, trying to get Shifley going. But right now, I mean, again, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, Drew, you asked me who's the most important player. It's still Mark Scheifele, and it's still you're still waiting for Mark Scheifele to take over. And again, like I said, he might as well be waving hasta la vista Beijing, because there's 0% chance. There's a 0% chance he's even I don't think he's on the long list at this point. Do you?
Well, I mean, I think he's certainly playing his way off the team if he hasn't already done so. There's lots of guys who've passed him in terms of being on Team Canada. I just can't get over the lack of any emotion that the Jets had in tonight's game, Ezzy. I know it's not an easy game to play. It's Monday night. It's the Coyotes. I understand all of that, but you have
to. It's not a really hard game to play either.
No, it's not hard because they're the easiest team to play against in the NHL. It's not like they do anything.
It's not the second game of a back to back or something like that. Like, look, I'm listening to you guys talk here, and we've been doing this show, you know, for almost 13 years. We've been covering the Jets for 11 years since they came back, mm-hmm. and you know, I've avoided, you know, necessarily playing into this narrative, and I have to be careful with what I say here. But I wonder if Paul Maurice's job is in jeopardy right now. I'm not saying that he's going to be fired tomorrow, but this type of performance and this type of streak, this team is healthy.
And all you have to do is give him a Ginsburg guarantee and he'll be safe.
I'll give you a Ginsburg guarantee, Paul. I like Paul Maurice as a person. They've lost 6 of 7 games.
They can't score.
They can't score. Their power play is atrocious right now. Their penalty kill has been better, but it's still pretty bad. Like, obviously, the first 5 games, what did they give up? 10 power play goals in the first 5 games. We talked about that with Weber. Like, it's going to be tough to – the Jets are – there's no way they're ever going to be this year a top 5 penalty kill. They're struggling to score goals at even strength. Like, what the question you have to almost ask is, what is going right here for this Jets team? Like, and I think we have to look beyond just, you know, tonight's loss and the 7-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild. Like, there are some big picture things wrong with this team.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly.
More than just what's happening on the ice. Like obviously,
how do they get out of it? I mean, that's the question, if they can get out of it, because
they're paid millions of dollars to figure that out, Drew.
I know they are. I understand that. I mean, you know, Saturday, I mean, I just don't know how you play.
Saturday they got out of it because Connor Hellebuck was out of their world.
Right, but they still were able to play with some speed, particularly in the second and the third periods. I just don't understand how you come out for tonight's game and just don't move. You have no speed. There's no pace to anything you're doing. And the Coyotes you know what the Coyotes are going to do. They're not going to take any risks. They're going to hang back and everything else. But the Jets need to know, and they need to implement something to, you know, force the issue even more. They need to be there so that the Coyotes can't just hang back. The Coyotes hang back, and the Jets just played into it. The Jets just were okay, Arizona's not going to push it, so we don't have to push it either. It was two teams that were out for a Sunday stroll. Was there one body check in that game? Was there one body check that anybody can think of that could have changed the tune or injected some emotion into that game? I mean, I honestly can't remember one.
Well, and that's kind of, you know, what I can't either. And you know, what I'm kind of getting at here, guys, is like when it's not just one thing that you can point to, then, and I'm worried. I am worried about this Jets team, because there is something that it's almost like you can't put your finger on one or two things because it's four or five things, right? Like aside from Connor Hellebuck's goaltending and Eric Comrie's goaltending has been very good for that matter. Aside from the goaltending, I really don't know what you can point at right now and saying that it's firing on all cylinders, right? And I think what's even more troubling is think of how well the Jets played in those two games against the Oilers, right? Because the big criticism when the Jets were on that nice streak of winning games was that, okay, well, they're beating some weak teams, right? Like they're beating the Los Angeles Kings or they're beating the San Jose Sharks. So what do? They take 3 of 4 points from Edmonton. And you go back to the second game that was in Edmonton. We all know the Jets could have easily won that game if it wasn't for the Connor McDavid video game goal, right? Yeah. And Connor McDavid video game shootout goal for that matter, right? So what I'm saying here is there's something really wrong here. I'm not saying the Jets can't turn this around, guys. We're only, you know, in game 21, 22 of the season, whatever it is here.
Yeah.
But, no, there's a lot of things that are concerning here.
There's no signs right now that things are easily going to turn around for this team. I'm reading Murat Ateş of The Athletic, a good friend. Murat has tweeted that Paul Maurice chalks up Winnipeg's lack of offense tonight, despite the shots on goal, to fatigue, a lack of speed, net front, and a little bit of squeezing the sticks too tight. Maurice said Winnipeg's best chances didn't reach the net. I mean, it's the same narrative game after game. I mean, fatigue, you know, give me a break on fatigue. Yeah, they're tired. Every team in the NHL is tired. Every team in the NHL plays a schedule that's way too compact and they play way too many games.
Well, and especially with the Olympics, right?
And especially with the Olympics. I mean, yeah. I was looking at the schedule. There's a week coming up just after the new year, maybe in February. It's in March, just after the Olympics. The Jets play 5 games in 7 days. So, yeah, I mean, the schedule is compact.
By the way, guys, I'm planning a trip to Hawaii in March.
And you're going to take off those just that specific week. I understand. I don't blame you at all for that, Ezzy.
Can I borrow $5,000?
No.
As that'll get you a plane ticket.
That's right. It's just the same reasons over and over again. And I get that the coaching is a hot spot, and I understand that, and I totally get where the perspective is. The leadership on the ice to me is a problem right now.
Yes.
The leadership on the ice, and I thought Blake Wheeler was effective tonight. I thought Blake Wheeler played one of his better games tonight, but it wasn't enough. And it's Blake Wheeler is at the point of his career where he is not going to be the driver. He's just not. He can't do it anymore. That's just the reality of the situation that, you know, we who all watch this can acknowledge that it's not incumbent on Blake Wheeler to set the tone for the Winnipeg Jets. Mark Scheifele, invisible. You know, he's on the ice for the Coyotes goal. You don't see any hurry in his back check. You don't see any passion in his back check. Nikolaj Ehlers, lousy tonight. I mean, Nikolaj Ehlers is rarely where you can say that he's lousy. I thought tonight he was lousy, fighting the puck, unable to do things. You saw that power play. I mean, Greg Millen sort of called him out on the broadcast for that, you know, almost relatively useless shot attempt on the power play. Rather, when the Jets finally gain the zone, he, you know, Ehlers tries to be a one-man wrecking crew and take a shot from a terrible angle that had very little chance of succeeding, and no wonder it didn't succeed. He's one of the leaders on this team. You know, in my books, at least he is. He's a guy the Jets rely on. He's a catalyst. He wasn't there. I mean, there's just too many passengers and nobody who's willing to take charge and put the team on their back and just sort of demonstrate, be the leader that demonstrates what the Jets need to get back to doing. Get back to causing chaos in front of an inexperienced goalie. Get back to playing with speed. Get back to being better than the opponent. And there was nobody on this Jets team that did it tonight. And it's been like that for the vast majority of the past 7 or 8 games.
I just, yeah, you know what? I'll
hang on. Say, what did you say, Dave?
No, I was just going to say, sorry, guys, go ahead, y'all. I'll get my point.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, I'll admit I didn't watch the whole first period because I was basically having a nervous breakdown with my two children. But the majority of the game that I did watch, Pierre-Luc Dubois was the one guy to me that was creating a little havoc. Like, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I mean, it's easy to point to Dubois, right, Drew, because, and Dave, because Dubois arguably been the Jets' best forward this year. Right. So, I mean, he was driving the net. He was throwing his weight around a little bit, but I agree with you. There wasn't a lot of physicality. There wasn't a lot of energy or passion. I mean, I think you could ultimately boil the game down to, even though the Jets had some scoring, some good scoring chances. We talked about it. I mean, they controlled the pace of play. I mean, a slow pace of play for the first couple of periods, but no, but hold on, Drew, the third period power plays to me are where the game just, you have to score on those. Like, you're gifted the 4 minute double minor and you just don't do anything with it. Like, and you mentioned it, Drew, they had four power plays in the third period.
Five
power plays in the third period.
You have five power plays in the third period against the Arizona Coyotes.
Exactly.
Against the one of the bottom penalty kills in the entire league, and they didn't have a decent chance on those power plays. It was, I mean, it's hard to believe what we watched, that you have that many power play opportunities. I know the Jets power play has been struggling, but it continues to struggle, and they continue to do nothing to change it up. It's boring. It's predictable. Every team in the league knows what you're trying to do with it, and you do it slowly on top of things. I mean, I know I'm getting fired up here. It's just, it's hard to believe.
Well, the reason I think, you know, the reason why you're so fired up, I feel it too. I mean, Dave's always fired up. I think we're just kind of I hate to use the cliche because it was what we used to say back at TSN 1290, but you're kind of being the voice of the fans. You don't think, you know, all the fans that are watching right now or whoever listening on the podcast, right, Drew, like Jets fans are I think upset. And the word that I used was worried, because you can't necessarily, like, look at the Devils are coming up. The Devils are not a world beater, but then you've got Toronto on Sunday, and then you've got Carolina, right? Is after Toronto.
Yeah.
So those are two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, right? Like, let's forget the fact that Toronto is probably going to get knocked out in the first round by whoever they play, but these are two much better teams, certainly than the Coyotes, right? So it's not like, you know, you've got a couple of crappy teams coming up here. Like, the Devils are much improved. Obviously a big part of that is Dougie Hamilton, right? But the Jets, I mean, Friday, it's crazy to say that game 22 or game 23, sorry, I forget which it is. It's crazy to say that that's a must win, but it is a must win. But also tonight's game was a must win because you're playing the worst team in the NHL. So, I mean, there just aren't any excuses anymore. The Jets are going to have to put together a winning streak here. And you can say all you want about how hard it's going to be against Toronto and how hard it's going to be against Carolina. Well, if you don't start winning some games, guys, you're not going to be a playoff team this year. And it's pretty crazy to say that, because some people were picking the Jets to win the Stanley Cup at the beginning of the year. So it's go time. This is as you like to say, Drew, this is a seminal moment of the season. You just have to put together some wins here. I don't know how else I can say it, because you have to just stop the bleeding. Like, there's blood all over the ice.
I don't disagree with anything you said there. It's just a matter of, I don't know who's going to step up and will the team, you know, out of the rut that they're in, if anybody can do it. That's the problem.
But if there isn't a guy, then, like I said before, there's more than just one or two problems here.
You're right. And if there's not a player who can do it, then it needs to be the voice. And we don't say that lightly, of course. I don't say that lightly, but if they just don't seem to have any solutions for getting out of it. And that's the part that is so troubling, is that they just keep throwing the same old stuff at the wall and hoping that this time it sticks.
Well, and that's to me why a coaching change. I haven't said this many times. You guys know that I've kind of...
You're the nice guy on the show. It's not your style.
Well, it's not even nice guy. I mean, you know, look at Paul Maurice, because of, you know, how long he's been the coach of the Jets and the playoff failures and everything like that. Like, I'm not talking so much about last year, but, you know, getting knocked out in the first round by St. Louis or getting knocked out by Calgary in the bubble. There's been, you know, a certain segment of the Jets fandom who have called, let's be honest. Like, I mean, we would be, you know, it would be ludicrous to pretend like there isn't a segment of the Jets fandom that that is called for that. But obviously, you know, that's not who makes the decision. Ultimately, you know, Chevy is going to be the one who has to determine, you know, is a coaching change appropriate at this time. But you wonder, guys, like, how much longer are you going to let this go?
Well, you know, Dave, and you've been biding your time patiently, so we do appreciate that. You know, there was a comment in the chat by Frosty Winnipeg who said, you know, if not going to the blender tonight, you know, changing up some of the lines, you know, why wouldn't tonight be the night to use it? I thought that that would have been tonight would have absolutely been the night to change things around, to see if, you know, reuniting some people or maybe switching things around might be what gets you a little bit of the mana from heaven that you needed. Instead, it was like Maurice was bored on the behind the bench as well tonight, Dave. There was this lull that permeated the entire rink. The fans were bored. The players were bored. I was bored. Dave?
Well, I'm bored from the show. I'm bored for the post game. So, yeah, I'm bored from a lot of things, quite frankly. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he didn't do it. I don't have an explanation. You could ask him, I guess. And, yeah, I mean, I honestly have no idea. I really don't know why he wouldn't do it. Sometimes he does it, and it's inexplicable because you're wondering why he breaks up a Connor, Svechnikov, and Dubois line that seems to be working, and he reunites Connor, Wheeler, and Scheifele, and talks about those other guys and how they wanted the kid on their line. Well, I mean, who wouldn't want Cal Connor on their line? I mean, he's a driver, right? So, anyways, I don't know. Like, I went back and while you guys were blathering, I went back and watched the goal against, and it, you know, it's a breakdown everywhere. You know, Ehlers loses the puck in the neutral zone. And like, I don't have a problem with him not wanting to give up possession, right? Because, you know, you just dump the puck away and you give up possession, and it's not an ideal play. So if you want to look back and see if your defenseman, and it was Nate Schmidt, and I think Josh Morrissey, I know Nate Schmidt was on for sure. I just can't remember if it was not Josh Morrissey was on at the same time. But the point is that he doesn't want to give up possession. Then, of course, the puck, you know, kind of catapults and hits Mark Scheifele. Mark Scheifele tries to glove it, ricochets down. Arizona turns it around. But like Mark Scheifele, like took like half strides. I mean, he could have been even. And Schmidt probably didn't play very well. Should have like let that shot, just played Roussel and left the shot to Hellebuck. But regardless, I mean, it's just, you know, when you're tight, you need that, you know, I hate to use a Drew Mandel here, but like that attention to detail, it needs to be in your game. And I think even Paul Maurice talked about that idea of attention to detail today. Or one of the players, someone mentioned that today, that idea of having it. And, you know, unfortunately they just, like I said, you know, this team just didn't have dangerous elements to their game tonight. And so, you know, yeah, they had a lot of shots and they had puck possession and, you know, expected goals for was significantly higher for Winnipeg than it was for Arizona. But at the end,
oh, really? Of the day, I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, like it just doesn't matter. No, I know. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's about guys being willing to sacrifice. And like if Adam Lowry, look, there were chances. Like Adam Lowry had a chance, I think, in the second period where he's at the side of the net. The puck is, I don't remember if it was the pass, who made the pass across, but the puck just bounces over his stick. And he misses like banging in an empty, you know, almost into an empty net there. So there were obviously different opportunities for this team. You know, Evgeny Svechnikov, you know, misses that 2-on-1 with Pierre-Luc Dubois, just can't catch up to it. Then the puck comes back out to him right in the slot and he shoots it right on him. So, I mean, there were chances, right? The Jets had some opportunities, but, you know, you just aren't finishing it. And you could say, well, you know, they're holding their sticks tight and yada, yada. But like I said, maybe the point Frosty Winnipeg was making is a good one, right? Like maybe that's when you try and blend things up and see what you can do, you know, to make it less stale. But like I said, to me, it goes back to simplicity. Sometimes hockey doesn't have to be overcomplicated, right? Like it's just keeping your guys fresh. And I just think whether there's lingering health issues from earlier in the season, currently, we know guys play through things throughout the course of the year, but just using that bench, and again, I don't know what the minutes ended up at in terms of for the fourth line.
I got it here when you keep going.
And I'll I was just gonna say, but I'm just saying, like it just becomes a function of like.
Yeah, I was just looking. Sorry, it was 4.5 minutes, five minutes.
So I mean, again, it's just one of those like frustrating things where it's like you just don't use these guys. What is the point of even having them? And I was talking. It's funny because I was talking to Cole Perfetti about the idea of yesterday after the Moose game.
Well, name drop.
And hashtag name drop. Well, I mean, it was media. I wasn't just like hanging out with Cole Perfetti. But the point is that we were talking about, because they used the 11-7. And I said, well, what, you know, like, how do you, and he said, I love it because, you know, I get three extra shifts in the first 10 minutes of the game that allow a player to kind of get going. And it's kind of like that, I guess, in this theory, because they're not really using the, I mean, obviously in this theory, it's not, because you get on with those other guys and you might get an easier matchup. But it just seems to me that it's just a waste, because you're trying to over, I know Palmer doesn't feel like he's overtaxing his top guy, his top nine, but it just doesn't seem like right now they're going, you know, they're going hard. The only thing that should be going hard right now is all these people in the chat, almost 500 of you, smashing that like button. That exactly is right. The most important thing I'm going to say on this night.
That's right. Good evening to everybody that's joining us. You are watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Manuk is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. Nice to see so many of you on this Monday evening. If you're new here, welcome. We do this after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you get your best podcasts. And that way you can get alerted each and every time we go live on YouTube, and you can get the show sent to your device automatically each and every broadcast. Smash that like button. We appreciate the help, and you can always leave some comments for us. Stick with us. We're going to give away some bagels in the second half of the show. We're also going to give away a toque from our friends at Tough Duck. You know, I wanted, before we take our break, because we'll, you know, go a little bit longer, we're having such a good conversation right now, let's talk about that fourth line usage. Because if there's ever a game where guys like Vesalainen and Toninato and, or pardon me, Toninato and Harkins are useful, it's a game like tonight, because those guys don't have any, for the most part, flair to their game. Their game is straight lines. Their game is drive the puck hard towards the net and make something good happen. We saw Dominic Toninato score that goal, last Tuesday when they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. When they lost to the Penguins, but Toninato scored the only goal of the game, and it was because he drove the net and he got a rebound and he put it in. I mean, to not use those guys on a game like tonight is just it speaks volumes about Paul Maurice as a coach, and a guy who the criticism always is, Dave, that he never uses his fourth line. He doesn't trust his fourth line, no matter who's on his fourth line. To your point, you just said it. Why even have a fourth line, especially tonight, where I do not have any doubts whatsoever that guys like Vesalainen and Toninato and Harkins could have helped the Winnipeg Jets? You're on mute.
I'm going to start paying a fine if I keep doing that. But the problem is I don't want the listeners, when we put this as a podcast, complaining that they're hearing me smashing my keys while I'm trying to type to the people in the chatter. Or on Twitter and stuff
like that. We can fix that in post, Dave.
Yeah, post is me also, Ezzy, and I don't know how to fix that, so no, we can't. But, it's just a tale as old as time. I mean, like, you have, like, the Islanders aren't obviously doing very well, but, I mean, there's a coach in Barry Trotz who is, you know, hands down the best, as far as I'm concerned, the best coach in the NHL, or at least top three. And he is a guy who's not afraid to use his fourth line as much as any other line on his team. And I think that's true, Hus, or I think it's Hus. But anyways, the point is that, it's one of those situations where you just have to have, like, faith. First of all, who are you afraid of on the Coyotes?
That's my point.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, who exactly are you holding these guys so you don't want them? You're worried about the matchup. First of all, you have last change, so you should be able to control the matchup. Shouldn't be worried about it. Second of all those guys are responsible, right? Toninato is very responsible. Harkins is extremely responsible. And Vesalainen has tried to become a new player. And, some people are making some good points about using Vesalainen on the power play. He does have a hell of a good shot. And the truth is, the one reason why he doesn't use his shot a lot is because he doesn't have the time and space that he likes to be able to get it off, because the NHL is so quick. Well, 5-on-4, you know, in theory, when you're moving the puck quickly, could be an opportunity, because he does have a big shot. And I've talked about this before. I remember when he must have been a preseason game. He and Patrick Laine were like set up at the circles and just like bang, 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 bang. And it was unbelievable. And you think to yourself, he doesn't use it enough. And I think it's probably a confidence thing. I mean, you saw it a little bit in the AHL, and you definitely saw it on the power play in the AHL, right? And that's an area he wouldn't be unfamiliar with. So, I mean, maybe just try and give, you know, because look, we know that they've tried to kind of change his game, right? Make him more of a checking, defensively responsible player, which, like I said, he's kind of that in between, right? Little has offensive gifts, also, you know, could be in that milieu of a defensively responsible player. Not really his forte, but something he's kind of worked well at this year. And to me, here's maybe an opportunity. I'm not saying it's for sure, but I'm just thinking like that could be something that could give Christian Vesalainen a little bit of confidence and give your team a little bit of a boost. Because right now, I mean, like we've said this on the show many times, we are the definition of insanity, but what is the definition, right? And I'm not going to go through it, but it's what the Jets are doing, which is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
It's got to be, to your point there, I mean, it has to be difficult for Vesalainen and Toninato and Harkins to sit on the bench shift after shift after shift after shift after shift after shift after shift, watch the guys above them on the roster do nothing effectively and never get the opportunity. You know, at a point in time, those guys are so, you know, they're thoroughbreds who just need to get out of the starting block. And you don't let them out of the starting block. I mean, I've said it before, Ezzy. There was not one body check in this game that I can remember. You don't think Jansen Harkins was going to go out there after he barely plays any time and he's going to go out there and not try and throw a hit? And he's not going to try and get some emotion into the game? Of course he is, because that's the kind of game he plays. Same with Toninato. And to your point about Christian Vesalainen and the Jets trying to change his style of play, he's been pretty effective in the limited minutes, I've found him to be useful. And then you don't ever give him that opportunity to do more. It's like you get rewarded by sitting on the bench even longer. It's just so, you know, back ass words that, you know, I just don't understand what the logic is. I mean, you're running Scheifele, Wheeler, Connor. You're running Dubois. You're running Svechnikov. You're running Ehlers. You're running Kopp. You're running them. They're doing nothing. Change things up. Don't change things up in the first period. That would be silly. But in the third period of tonight's game, when your power play is effectively an embarrassment. Let's call it out for what it was.
Oh, it was, for sure.
It was an embarrassment. They cannot take anything out of that aside from saying, we made one of the worst penalty kills in the league look dominant. And we did it not for one power play opportunity, not for two power play opportunities, for five third period opportunities. The Jets just went out there like it was a Sunday stroll and did nothing to try and change the tenor of the game. It's rot. Tonight was rot. That's the only way I can describe it, Ezzy.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, right? Like, you have to put together some wins now. Like, you have to move beyond this. I don't know how much more, like, there's no lipstick that you can put on this game, right? There just isn't. Like, it's a loss. It's a bad loss. You mentioned rot, Drew. So you're going to have to win against the Devils, and you're going to have to beat the Leafs, and you're going to have to beat the Canes if you want to start to turn this around. And, you know, Dave mentioned, like, we've talked about this for years now, how the Jets really should have a fourth line that plays more. And I agree. Christian Vesalainen, he certainly looked better in limited fourth line minutes than he did on the third line, right? Like, he looks better, you know, getting 4 minutes than being a healthy scratch. Obviously, I'm joking here. But, you know, you haven't seen enough of the fourth line for them to really have an impact on the game. And especially in a game in which the Coyotes only had one power play, right? Yeah. Because Dominic Toninato is going to get some minutes on the PK. So he's on the bench. He's fresh. He's an energy guy. We've talked about that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy that, you know, yeah, he's not a 25 goal scorer in the NHL, but he's a guy that he can score the odd goal, but he can also create a little bit of havoc, create a little bit of energy for his teammates, right? But it ultimately comes down to, you know, the stars of this team, the Scheifeles, the Ehlers, the Wheelers. And you could say whatever you want about Wheeler. He's still the captain, okay? And he still has to produce. And I agree, he was good tonight. But these are the guys that have Kyle Connor, right? Like, Connor had 5 shots on net. I mentioned Dubois to me, was the most impactful forward for the Jets, and he has been for the majority of this season. But, I mean, these are the players that are going to have to get you out of it, right? Because Connor Hellebuyck did his job tonight. He did his job. He does his job every night. Like, the stars of this team are, you know, the Jets talked a lot about in the offseason. Dave talked to Nate Schmidt for, you know, about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and he often referenced the fact that what was appealing about coming to Winnipeg was the fact that this team was gunning for a Stanley Cup, not a playoff spot, the Stanley Cup. And right now, guys, the Jets are in danger of missing the playoffs. It's ridiculous to say that 22 games into the season. But look at this division. Like, Minnesota's a good team. Colorado is finally getting it together. And they're going to get Nate McKinnon back soon. St. Louis is a pretty good team. Mm-hmm. Like, something's
got to give time to work. You don't have time to work something through here, Dave. Whatever, if you can even work it through. It's not like, you know, you don't have time to make this as if you're passing a kidney stone. You know, you might have a full-fledged blockage before it's too late.
Apparently that's ridiculously painful.
I haven't had one. I'm fortunate that, hope not to. But
we don't wish that upon anybody.
We don't wish that upon anyone. It's an analogy, and I think you know where I'm going with it. And the Jets are, I mean, they're still fortunate in that they did bank so many points earlier in the year that if they were only an average team earlier in the year, they would now be way behind the eight ball. Now they're just sort of, you know, dog paddling to keep their head above water, but you know, are beginning to sink a little bit, Dave.
Guys, they have Drew. They have a Vezina goaltender. They have a solid defense that they've had for 22 games. Completely not one healthy. Injury. Yeah. So they've been healthy. They've formed chemistry.
Yeah.
And you're not blaming a lot of these losses on the defense. So, I mean, obviously, like, miscues, but, like, the reality is they are not. But, and anyways, we'll get to that in a second. And you got forwards and you've spent to the cap. So what is wrong? What stinks in Denmark? And I'm not blaming Nikolaj Ehlers because he's from Denmark, but this isn't on him. This team has, like, again, it starts with Paul Maurice. You're the coach. It's on you to figure this out. It's on you to decide how your team is configured. If your team isn't performing based on the current configuration, there's nobody else to blame because you've got an MVP goaltender. You've got a very good defense. You're not the best defense in the NHL, but you've got a very good defense. And you've got very good forwards. Now, they're not scoring right now, and they were scoring before, and that's dried up, and that happens towards the course of the year, and you have to figure out, you know, I mean, we talked about it, right? Like, you can go back to Connor and Dubois because you know they've got that muscle memory of comfort playing with each other, that if you need to go back to it to try and get the scoring going, you could. I'm not sure why he isn't, but you could. And the point is, there's no excuses. What I mean, I heard some excuses in the thing about – you know, about the time zones and about the moving and the, you know, they went from Columbus to Minnesota to Calgary back to Winnipeg. Okay, sure. That's kind of like the only thing you got left, right? Because you're a healthy team. The exception of, again, I'm not maligning, but the problem is if you had COVID and it was a problem, nobody's gonna have a problem with that. But if you're in a lineup, then you have to be under the assumption and you're telling everybody you're 100%, then you are 100% for the, you know, and like I said, the best anybody can be in an NHL, you know, season, because none of these guys are ever 100, really 100%. So the fact is, there are no excuses. It's on you because there's no changes coming. What are the changes? You can't make it. Like, Kevin Chevalier can't make a trade. They got no cap space. They can't bring anybody up from the AHL. They really can't because, I mean, they could, obviously. And I mean, like, but David Gustafson, guys, isn't going to solve the problems of the Winnipeg Jets. Like I said, we're on the David Gustafson bus. It's our bus. Kenny's trying to secure it. He's falling behind on a Beaver. He's
trying
bus.
To commandeer it.
It's not, it's like, what was that movie with Sandra Bullock?
Speed.
Yeah. Kenny's trying to get Hold on that
the movie
bus.
With Sandra Bullock. You mean the movie with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
They were both in it.
Yeah. I'm going to go with
Dennis Hopper. By the way, that was the first movie that I ever snuck into. Cause I think it was, what was it called? PA-15 back in the day. That you had to be right. 15. And I think, whenever that movie came out, I feel like I was like 11 or 12. It was the first movie I stuck into. Shout out to Adam Florence, who lives in Montreal now. I stuck in with him.
Well, I felt like you guys are real rebels.
Yeah.
You guys are. When
you're that age and you sneak into a movie, I mean,
you know, that's. Look, I'm not saying that it's a gateway drug to hard crime, but you know, you're fortunate that you managed to avoid going down that
Actually,
road.
Drew, anyways, it was just sneaking into that movie was a gateway drug to popcorn and Junior Mint.
And more drugs.
Anyway, yes. Long story short, is that they're just, you just, there's no more, right? Like, and as he's 100% right. There's zero excuses. Like, you have to beat the Devils, and you can't just, like, you can't have a Calgary game where Hellebuck steals the game for you. You don't apologize for having one of the best goaltenders in the NHL. Like, that's just the reality of your team. It's a reality of your situation. So, like, that's just a fact. But the truth is, you can't have a disappointing effort where you hold on and you get a win because of Connor Hellebuck or Eric Comrie or whatever it looks like. You need to go out and you need to beat these teams. And you have to beat Toronto. And Toronto is playing really well, and they've got a ton of confidence. So you can't afford to look past New Jersey, because you just can't. But then you're going to have a huge test. And then Carolina, the best team in the Eastern Conference, or one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Svechnikov versus Svechnikov blood feud. I mean, that'll be fun. It's a nice side story. But, I mean, like I said, there's no more excuses. You'll be rested for New Jersey, day off tomorrow, 2 days of practice, and then you're playing on Friday. So the excuses are done, because, like I said, there really isn't any justification. You're healthy. Your team's a cap. You've spent to the salary cap. You have to figure it out. So the most important thing is, folks, smash that like button.
It's crunch time for the Winnipeg Jets. It's break time for the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll pay a few bills with some commercials. When we come back, you can stick with us. We have some prize giveaways to do, a little bit more on this Jets-Coyotes game. We'll look forward to Friday and much more of your comments. It's a lively crowd tonight. It's Monday night just before 10 o'clock. Stay with us. You're listening. You're watching. You're chatting with the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa! Oh, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed 2 fresh Bagelsmith bagels with Schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, yes I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy, let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop, located at 185 Carlton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Bucks clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
The clock strikes 10 p.m. on a Monday night. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. This is the Illegal Curve post-game show. Nice to see so many of you joining us on this Monday night. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us some comments. We always appreciate the feedback, good or bad. We're nothing if not honest here on the program, as has been demonstrated over and over and over again tonight as we break down the debacle that was the Winnipeg Jets' 1-0 defeat at the hands of the Arizona Coyotes. Gentlemen, like we said, Friday night against the Devils is now the Jets' next opportunity to turn the page and try and recapture some of the magic that they had earlier in the season when they were playing like one of the better teams in the NHL, as opposed to a team that is struggling and fighting tooth and nail just to get any goals past the opposition goaltender.
Yeah, and you know, Drew, you mentioned earlier, like, you know, it's easy for us, it's easy for fans to pile on after a result like that. But really, what other alternative do we have, right? Like, you know, the win against the Flames, you can say whatever you want. They got the 2 points. And yes, Connor Hellebuyck, I mentioned, you know, should have been the first, second, and third star. He deserves a lot of the credit for that. Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler, like that line being reunited, like, surprised us, right? Like, they were the best line on the Jets and probably the best line in that game. But like a result like that, it's mind-boggling. Like, we were joking, you know, a few weeks back, like, are the Coyotes even gonna get to 10 wins? I still don't know if they will get to 10 wins, by the way. But
how many more times they play the Jets?
Well,
three more.
This is a crucial point in the season, and it's not just because of the all the losses, like 6 of 7. It's because you've got the Colorado Avalanche that have 4 games in hand and are right behind you. You've got the Nashville Predators that are right behind you. Like, it, what I'm saying is, you got to get this going in not only in the right direction, you need to put together a nice winning streak and start to play the way you know that you can play on a consistent basis. Like, I go back to those 2 games against the Oilers, guys, and I agree with Dave. This team, I think, does have the ingredients to go on a long playoff run. But right now, they're in the middle of one of the worst losing streaks that we've had. Like, the 7-game losing streak at the end of last season, guys, was bad. But the Jets were comfortably in a playoff spot.
Yeah,
at that point. I think this is worse.
That losing streak more. Oh, there's no question this is worse, Dave. I understood that losing streak last year because of COVID, because the Jets were in a playoff spot, because, you know, because it was just understandable. The lull, the you know, everything about that made more sense. The losing streak that they're currently experiencing has come so far out of nowhere. There was no signs of this. There were no signs that this team was all of a sudden going to run into this wall. Even when they lost the game in Vancouver, they played they played far and away better than Vancouver. They just weren't able to get, you know, that was a game where they got goalied. It's, since then, it's just been, where has this come from? That's the part that nobody has been able to sort of, I think that's the why they all look so shell-shocked a little bit, is that there was no signs that this was coming. That there wasn't, you know, last year, Paul Stastny talked about the cheat in their game. There was no cheat in their game, you know, up until, well, there hasn't been any cheat in their game. They just all of a sudden haven't been able to score.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't say they've cheated the game. No. Which is, I think, what Paul Stastny said after the game, is you still aren't seeing any cheating. And it was funny because even in the broadcast, they were like, well, the Jets are going to have to throw it. I'm like, well, they really don't, because, I mean, Arizona's not pushing at all. So at this point, realistically, you know, you know, one mistake, it could end up in the back of the net. But I don't think the Jets cheated the game. I just think the recipe isn't working. Whatever you think that you've got going right now, Scheifele, Connor, Wheeler, you know, Dubois, Andrew Kopp. I mean, well, the only good news for the Jets is maybe Andrew Kopp is playing himself out of all that money he thought he was making at the end of the season based on his one, what does he have, 1 goal in his last 5 games, I think,
he's struggling. Something like that.
He's struggling. So, you know, maybe Andrew Cobb needs to be reunited with Adam Lowry. I mean, who knows, right? But, you know, like to me, it's like giving guys like Jansen Harkins an opportunity if you want, or Dominic Toninato. Like, it's not a, like, we sound like broken records, but it's like you've got an opportunity. How fresh must these guys' legs be throughout the course of the season? You're playing 4 minutes a game. Yeah. You know, I don't care about the time zones they're flying through. When you only play 4 minutes, you ain't taxed. You know, everybody else is playing 16 to 20 and you're playing four. You're able to handle it. You know, it's not going to be a hardship for those guys. And I think, like, as he said, they're hungry. They want the opportunity. And so, you know, they'll look, guys like Jansen Harkins don't complain about the situation. They just don't. He's worked his ass off to get to the NHL. He knows what he needs to do to maintain his spot in the NHL. He looked like, you know, even in the game against Calgary, he almost looked like he was going to score one. And, like, you know, you can give him some more ice time, give him some more opportunity.
Let him cause chaos.
I'm not suggesting that you give these guys 25 minutes all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that maybe that missing ingredient is the legs from these young guys. Because right now you're giving your workhorses the opportunity and they're not rewarding you, right? Mm-hmm. You've allowed Mark Scheifele, you've allowed Blake Wheeler to kind of be reunited with Kyle Connor. And yeah, they had some success against Calgary, but, you know, this is a what have you done for me lately sort of business. And today is another lately where you could have used those guys. Sure, they had some opportunities. They didn't finish them. And we've gone over some of those opportunities throughout the course of this broadcast. But ultimately, boys, like, Ezzy's right. I mean, it's a results-based business. I don't know if Ezzy said that exactly, but that's
well, the hold on. Also, by the way, I don't know if you actually want to say that I'm right, considering that
Ginsburg
guaranteed that the Jets would win. And
you didn't give a Ginsburg guarantee when you made the statement. So as a result, I'm able to say that you were correct in your assessment. And I think, you know, this I'm not suggesting like there's going to be major changes if you don't win. Drew, are you okay right now? Like, before yawns, all of a sudden, you looking like you're. I mean, it's 10 o'clock. Normally, if this would have been a 7 o'clock start, we would only be like.
Yeah, what's going on? Are we boring you, Drew? Like is our. You
I mean, know, everybody in the chat is fired up. Drew, Ezzy, and I are trying to have a dialogue, and you've already given me a couple of yawns, and we're on TV now. So the problem is, Drew. Back in the day when we were in the radio in the studio, I would notice it, but I wouldn't necessarily call you out for it. It's just everybody else noticing it too.
Can't hide anywhere, Drew.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to stifle it, but it snuck through. My apologies. I am a little tired. I hope you'll forgive me for that. The Jets game did not get my blood pressure.
Frosty Winnipeg is saying the Ginsburg guarantee Wikipedia page is now up. That'd be the best, by the way. That would be the best if that actually was a thing. It'd be so funny.
You know, look, you got the prizes to give away yet or not yet?
I do.
Okay, go for it. Start with the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment from our friends at Tough Duck. Somebody's going to win a toque in what was certainly a very fired up chat room tonight.
Okay, hold on. I lost the comment here because it was about the fourth line.
Okay.
Great. Hold on. Found it. I found it. Okay. So if you're looking for it, it was only a couple minutes ago. NTR, is that NTR S9 or NTR 59, 10:07 PM. We've been talking about the fourth line minutes for years. This goes back to what we were talking about before the break about the fourth line. The number that stands out from what I remember is that you need that fourth line playing 10 to 12 minutes a night. The reason why I like that comment, not that comment that you have up, but
yeah, sorry.
Regardless, NTR 59, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, and Tough Duck is going to send you a toque for having the hardest hitting comment. I agree. I mean, this was the type of night where you knew that there weren't going to be a lot of goals. All the Jets needed was that one goal to tie it up. And the fourth line was nowhere to be found. So I think Harkins, Toninato, and Vesalainen, and I think they deserve more ice time. So that's why I'm picking that comment, because I think against the Devils, same type of thing. I mean, you obviously got to win that game. You got to get the clean 2 points, but also you got to have that fourth line playing more. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't necessarily know they are going to play that much more, considering Paul Maurice doesn't really like to use his fourth line, but I think he should.
Congratulations to NTRS9. You are the winner of tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Send Ezra an email, Ezra at illegalcurve.com, or you can send him a DM on Twitter at ICEZG, and he'll hook you up with a toque from our friends at Tough Duck. We're going to give away some bagels now, Ezzy. Who is getting the bagels?
Yeah, we're going to give Garrett Wilkinson the 6 bagels from Bagelsmith Winnipeg. So, Garrett, head down to, I feel like I'm Bob Barker right now saying head down, but 185 Carlton Street, pick up 6 bagels from Bagelsmith. I like the comments that you've been doing. There's a lot of people, a lot of good chat happening tonight. Lots of people joining us after that Jets Coyotes game, and we're going to give it to Garrett.
Congratulations to Garrett. So Garrett, head down to Bagelsmith on Carlton. They'll have your name and you can hook yourself up and get some great bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith. Dave, are you holding the moose antlers? Okay, go for it. It's time. Is it time? You're on mute, dummy.
Cue the music, Drew.
He's on mute. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Where's the mute? Where's the music?
I didn't get the music made yet. I was busy. I apologize. Well,
all I was saying was I didn't even know how did that even get in my hand? I didn't realize. I was just holding it and it just appeared. And then suddenly we're now in the Manuk Moose minute. Wow.
After that Jets game, Dave, we might have to turn that into the Manuk Moose hour.
Well, yeah, someone suggested that at the beginning of the show. I didn't want to jump into it too quickly, but let's get into it. The Moose were cracking yesterday, once again concluding their 5-game homestand against the Texas Stars. They'd won 3 of the previous 4 games, and they came out and they had another solid effort. They built themselves up a 5-1 lead before they got a little sloppy, a little lazy, and Texas came in and scored a couple goals late in the third period. Moose able to do something that Jets weren't able to do, which is generally score power play goals, something that is they're incapable of. Cole Perfetti, and I'm not saying this to create a rush for towards Cole Perfetti, but you got to give him credit. He was really good, especially in the first 20 minutes. He drew three penalties, beat out an icing, which was kind of notable because it ended up leading to about a minute and four possession time for the Moose. They controlled the puck after that, kind of put Texas on their heels. They didn't score, ended up with a power play as a result. And then Perfetti later in the first period ended up scoring on the power play. He and Declan Chisholm, the 2018 fifth rounder, the defenseman, he scored 2 goals, the second 2-goal game of the season. And he had a nice give and go on the 3-1 goal with Cole Perfetti to finish that one off. So Perfetti finished the game with a goal and 2 assists. He was really good. First start of the game picked by someone. It's just another good, it's another evidence of this, of just a solid Moose team that work well together. And I talked to Marty Johnston, the assistant coach, after the game. And one of the things we talked about the power play and the penalty kill. So it's worth watching if people want to go and listen to kind of the philosophy of the Moose and how they run it. And again, what it ultimately comes down to is fresh, keeping, having faith in all their players. Mark Morrison, the head coach of the Moose, talked about it previously, and the idea whenever we were talking about penalty kill, this idea of being fast and fresh and using 6 to 7 guys and 4 or 5 rotations just to keep them all fresh and keep it, 20 to 30 seconds. Something the Jets probably could stand to learn, because it's working for the Moose with the second best penalty kill in the AHL and a top 10 power play. So I won't go too far into the Moose stuff, but yeah, it was a really good home series for the Moose. Like I said, the Jets and Moose ended the weekend tied for third in the Central, or in the third spot for in their respective Central divisions. But Moose feeling really good, doing really well at home, 7-2-0-0, really good crowd Saturday and Sunday, lots of kids, which was awesome, because anytime there was a fight, kids were yelling fight, fight, fight. And it was like, kids are bloodthirsty. I love it. It's the best.
When there wasn't a fight, the kids were chanting Dave, Dave, Dave. So yes, it worked out very well.
Yes, yes. I do appreciate when I go down there with a little sign that says cheer for Dave. And just to kind of draw it all in and to wrap it all up, one of the reasons why you want to participate on the Illegal Curve postgame show and in the Manuk Boost Minute is because we hook you up with amazing seats. And C-Mac, who I don't know, I saw him earlier, I don't know if he's still here, he took his daughter and a couple of her friends to the game. We hooked them up with 4 tickets for Sunday's game. And they were, for some reason, when I saw the tickets, I thought they were a little further back. They were literally right behind the Stars bench. So he was really happy. He said the kids had a great time, sent us some pictures. And that's one of the great things about being brought on the show. You get bagels, you get toques, and you sometimes get Moose tickets. I'll have 4 more for both games, December 10th and 11th, which is against Grand Rapids.
There you go. Ezzy, you want to give away the toque to somebody else? The person you gave it away to had previously won.
Yeah, we had a repeat winner there, so we want to give someone someone different.
Ezzy a master list.
Yeah, we do need a master list. I definitely could just give me 1 second here, Drew, and
all right. We're going into overtime with the Manuk Moose Minute. Yes.
Well, I'm sure.
Sorry, guys. I just had the comment, but I have to scroll back up now.
That's okay. Well, let me continue with the Manuk Moose Minute. I'll talk more about other folks that are on in the organization. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to. I won't go too long, Drew. Although Jeff Malacqua going again. He's feeling good about himself. Maybe it's his Cornell team is 8-1 on the season. I think our boy Brad Schlossman from the Grand Forks Herald wrote that they have like 2 losses in like the last 40 games or something like that. Very unusual. So go Big Red, as Jeff Malott would say, he scored. And Cole Meyer, who I actually kind of think could end up being the Moose captain. He's a really good kind of AHL solid player, good team guy, does a lot of different things. I could see him taking over the captaincy because they do have a vacancy. I'm going to ask about that maybe sometime this week. So, and look for some exciting new Moose features coming up. I've got some negotiations going on, so we'll see what that can look like. But that could be coming in December.
Dave's negotiations.
I think Dave's going to come out on top of those negotiations. I've got the winner here, boys. Sorry on the delay there. We had the repeat winner. So this is for the Tough Duck Toque. This is the hardest hitting comment. We're going to give it to Liquor Beaver. First off, that's a great name. We see Liquor Beaver all the time. In the chat here, this comment was from 949, Drew, if you want to put it up. I like this because he was at the game tonight, the Liquor Beaver. He sat behind the Jets bench tonight, homo wringing hands in the second and swearing to himself in the third. So this comment also has lots of good insight because he was right there. Bench was dead quiet, Wheeler silent. Biggest talker was Lowry and Schmidt. I don't think anybody is surprised to hear that Lowry and Schmidt were vocal, especially Schmidt. So like that comment from Liquor Beaver. So send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. And Tough Duck will ship out a toque to you.
I just wanted to know how many more times as he was going to say Liquor Beaver on the show before realizing what he was saying. In any event, that's it for this Monday edition of the Illegal Curve post game show.
Well, you can say that. I didn't say it. I didn't say it that way. So
we'll be back on Friday night with the Illegal Curve post game show following the Jets and the New Jersey Devils. Saturday morning, the Illegal Curve hockey show at 9 a.m. back here on our YouTube channel. Dave, if you're saying something, you're on mute, so we don't know what you're saying.
Pretty sure that was the fourth time that Dave has been talking and he's been on mute.
Well, I'm trying to do a lot of different things here. I'm trying to get the post game on illegalcurve.com. We will have post game comments, Drew, of Paul Maurice and Wheeler Paul Stasny. And a lot of you'll hear our post game podcast. If you didn't hear the whole show, that's going to be on illegalcurve.com. All I said was, by the way, is that I said, I feel like we're in Moe's Tavern right now.
And there you go. Smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave comments on both. We always appreciate the feedback. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until Friday night's post game show, right around 9:30, 9:45 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.